we've lived with Cam right now until he matures a little bit. All right, we got to get out on the other side of the break. We may talk some NFL. We may talk some Astros. Maybe more Royal Rumble winners. We'll find out when we get back. ESPN Radio 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5.
Would you trust your family's safety to the lowest bidder? No. Jim Fiume, founder of Gulf Coast Windows, 40 years ago pioneered replacement windows. And since then, they've led the industry in window technology, installation, and customer satisfaction. Can you buy a cheaper window? Yeah! But not with their Performance Series windows and satisfaction guarantee. Save a few pennies or choose a best-in-class window. Keep your family safe and save money on electricity bills. GulfCoastWindows.com. GulfCoastWindows.com.
Loved one died and left you an old car to sell? GiveMeTheVIN.com has just launched the new service, GMTVCC.com. Write this down, GMTVCC.com, which is GiveMeTheVIN Classic and Collector Car Buying Service. GMTVCC.com will hook you up with GMTVCC Pro buyers that will appraise and offer on that 69 Chevelle, old Corvette, old truck, and especially Restomods. We love Restomods at GMTVCC.com. Don't mess with consignments or auctions. Get paid today on your classic or collector car at GMTVCC.com.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think you could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text ENERGY to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text ENRGY to 42424. That's energy to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Guess who? ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFN NC 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It is the Bullpen with Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and our man John Belmer behind the glass, and all of you guys with your Royal Rumble run-ins. And we even had a call on what we thought was the Jaguars head coaching hire, but turned out to be about the Texans OC. So thank you for joining in us. And if you'd like to call in as well, you could call or text the HRMP list line again, 713-780-3776. So let's talk some Astros right now for as long as we can, unless we have another run-in. Look, it's been an interesting few weeks for the Astros because we thought the Alex Bregman thing was over when they, one, traded for Isak Paredes as a part of the Kyle Tucker deal, and then signed Christian Walker, formerly of the Diamondbacks, to play first base. It looks like, well, Bregman's got no place to play. But suddenly, you know, everyone in the Astros organization and every beat writer, especially Bob Nightingale, who seems to be the voice of Astros front office, have let us know that the door is still cracked open. Alex Bregman still might come back. I mean, it's kind of a mess when you look at the situation of if he comes back, it means Jose Altuve, with his plus arm and his great length to be able to leap up and catch balls at the wall, is going to be moved out to the outfield. But what is your overall feel for this situation, one, the idea of paying Bregman this close to the competitive balance tax to bring him back, and B, move Jose Altuve to a position he's certainly not really made for?
I mean, you got to give the Astros credit for creativity.
Creativity, yeah. Sure, that's one way to put it.
And makes our job easy. Makes our job.
They are team content. I will give the Astros that, because the baseball 100%. Offseason is way too long, and a lot of times there's nothing to talk about for months. And then the team content comes through, and
they're just like, hey, what if we put the greatest Astro of all time at a different position when he's 35 years
hey,
old?
You know this guy that's 5'5 and has a noodle arm? Outfield.
Okay, so people keep bringing up the height with him playing the outfield. I don't understand how, like, the height
well,
really
plays at the wall. I mean,
No one makes plays at the wall. I get it.
Well, no, sure. But they're going to play 81 games on the road.
Are they?
Hopefully playoffs.
No, I don't think they will.
You don't think they're going to play? Okay, they're just gonna
but it's not just it's games. Not just plays at the wall. It's those outfield hits where you're going to have to turn and run with your back towards home plate, and you're going to have to stretch out.
And reach up and get it. Yeah.
And run left and right, too, and dive for the ball.
And as somebody who is short and played outfield, I can tell you that being tall is definitely beneficial playing in the
outfield. I mean, being tall is more beneficial to play any sport, really, other than being a jockey.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily advantageous to his current position, second base. I don't think there's necessarily an advantage of being tall there, but I would say, like, if you look at most outfield, like, if you look at just the average outfielder across Major League Baseball, there's not a lot of guys under 6 feet.
Yeah, they're probably
much less Jose Altuve's height.
Yeah.
And it's a different, the ball is coming at you differently in the outfield than it is in second base. And it's like people allude to, oh, well, Craig Biggio switched from second base to the outfield. Well, Craig Biggio also had a better arm and was a little taller, and it's not like that. It's not like Craig Biggio was a great outfielder.
No.
It just Jeff Kinn at the time was a phenomenal.
And then later,
second,
Carlos Beltran.
So my thing is why would we even move Altuve if you're going to move experiment with anybody? Why wouldn't it just be Paredes? Paredes is younger. I don't understand why we would want to move Altuve. Hey, like you said. Arguably the greatest player in Astros history, the best second baseman, arguably. Like, why would you, at the end of his career, move him?
No, I'm with you, but I could tell you what the other side. Sorry,
I was
going to
say,
Sean.
I think the reasoning is that if you're going to have a below average glove in the outfield, have a good glove at second base instead of having Altuve, who's slipping as a glove and is arguably pretty bad in the field at second. And also having a bad left fielder, just have a bad left fielder and a good second baseman, or at least a decent one in Paredes. Because I don't think Paredes is going to be a gold glover there at second.
No,
either.
True,
no.
But I get that. Like, I completely get that. But then my thing is, okay, but then our outfield is going to be Jake Myers, McCormick, and Jose Altuve. Like,
it's
going to
be
the
worst outfield in the American League. I mean, really, this is regardless. Like, even if Jose Altuve stays at second base, oh, we got another run in. I'm sorry, we can't talk about Jose Altuve. It's not Chaz McCormick coming out right now. It's not Jake Myers. Who do we have right now on the HRMP listener line?
Hello, this is Joe George here, and I'd like to take a moment here to say that I'm taking a knee against the slandering of short people that's happening on this show right now. This is walking me into a trap, and because of that, I'm going to change my Royal Rumble pick, and I'm going to stand as tall as I can for people like me and Cam Smith. You know what? Screw it. I'm taking Mr. 619 Rey Mysterio to win the Royal Rumble.
Rey Mysterio. Joe, are you taller than Rey Mysterio?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's pretty close. I don't think it's that much of a difference, to be honest.
Well, he once took down I think he beat Big Show, right? Sean knows. He's sports entertainment, Sean. Why am I even asking Sean? I mean, Sean can just tell me. All right, so Rey Mysterio is Joe's pick for the Men's Royal Rumble winner. Joe, you got picks for the Women's Rumble and Cody versus KO?
Taking Cody versus KO for sure. Women's Rumble, I think it's going to be Charlotte, which kind of bums me out, but I think Charlotte's going to win it tonight.
Those are popular picks. Charlotte, I think, has been our most picked so far. The women's, and I think everyone.
Yeah, I was going to say no. Cody Rhodes is by far.
Everyone's picked Cody except for when Coachy called back in, and then also picked KO. But he at first picked Cody, and then called back in, and then picked KO.
Him.
He's 5'6".
Rey Mysterio's 5'6".
Yes.
Oh wow, that is close.
Well, sports. Then
what the exact same height?
Yeah, they're the same height.
Same height. All right. So, Joe, Joe, are you going to enter the Royal Rumble if Rey Mysterio can win it?
I mean, if Tyrese Halliburton's going to try to be in it tonight, which I know he's not actually going to be, like, why can't I? Why can't I be in it?
He's actually calling from the airport about to get on his plane to Indianapolis.
Me and Chip Kelly, we're at George Bush Airport right now.
Yeah, you and Chip Kelly have both been spotted at the airport.
We got flight trackers for Royal Rumble entrances that we have. We do that for SEC coaching hires. We need to have the flight tracker
with Joe George
and
Chip Kelly.
And Chip Kelly and Tyrese Halliburton. Yes, they're all in the same class.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, any more predictions or spoilers for us before we let you go?
The only thing I'm really excited for tonight is I think we're going to get CM Punk in the ring one-on-one with AJ Styles if he's back and healthy tonight. And that just makes me very, very excited because I love both those guys a ton. So seeing them face off would be awesome. So that's the only thing I'm like hoping for tonight. Oh, and Jeff Hardy will be there.
Oh, you think so?
I'll call my shot. This new TNA WWE, oh, I think true. Hardy gets an appearance.
Not to get one too far into the weeds, but it seems like every time we get excited about a Jeff Hardy return, he then gets pulled over for DUI.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true, Brian. That's very accurate, Brian.
So shout out to Indianapolis police tonight. Please watch out. Please watch out for Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
You want to get your name in the paper. Go ahead and look for Jeff Hardy pulling away from Lucas Oil Field or wherever the hell they're calling it now. It's not the RCA Dome, right? I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your name is to quote The Rock. Well, does that make me too old quoting the RCA Dome?
Hasn't been the RCA Dome in like 20 years.
I don't know. I said Lucas Oil Phil first. Give me some credit. All right, thank you to Joe George, one half of Gallant and George, for calling in. So we were talking Astros and Alex Bregman. We don't have time to get into the Chandler Rome audio here in the like 1 minute we have left in this segment. But I think the other side, and you guys were, I think, talking about it briefly before Joe called in and did his run-in. But I think the argument in support of putting Altuve in the outfield is he's, by some metrics, the worst defensive second baseman in the American League, maybe in Major League Baseball. He's certainly bottom five. And he's going to be a bad left fielder as well. So he's going to be bad regardless of where you put him, especially at this age. He's now in his mid-30s. So the thinking is, especially on a staff where you have Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, two heavy, heavy, heavy ground ball pitchers, would you rather have a terrible defensive second baseman or a terrible defensive left fielder, and that you can hide his bad defense more in left field than you can hide him at second base?
Yeah, no, that reasoning is sound to me. I think that it's definitely on the table, and Chandler mentioned when he was on Gallant George yesterday, he mentioned that he fully expects that, like, Jose Altuve, it might not be this year, it won't be full-time this year, but he won't end his career playing second base for the Astros. He'll play a different position at some point in his career.
And we might see him be the DH a lot this year.
And that's the problem, really, because if you want to talk about, I don't even think the real issue here, it is an issue, but Jose Altuve's defense, the real issue is you have two DHs. And you can only play one. And so someone's going to have to be either a liability in the field, or in the case of Yordan Alvarez, a little bit better in the field, but now you're worried about him injuring himself. Yeah. So you're juggling, do we want to put a bad fielder out there in Jose Altuve, who's either bad at second base or out of position in left field, or do we want to put Yordan out in left field and risk him getting hurt? Because he seemingly always gets hurt.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay with Yordan playing like 50 games in left
field. And he played like 53 last year.
I think you're really just trying to get like the other 100.
Can we get 100 games of left field from Jose Altuve? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, maybe like 80 from Altuve and then 20 from, days off and spin
Dubon
the wheel.
Yeah, or insert.
Trammell.
Yeah. Trammell.
Trammell, sir. Thank you.
Trammell.
I don't know.
Put some respect on that name.
I just like
that guy
Trammell.
I only heard of like 3 days ago.
Taylor Trammell.
Sure. Yeah. I don't. I'll quote The Rock. It doesn't matter what your name is, okay? Alan Trammell.
It's not Alan.
Taylor.
Whatever.
Alan Trammell.
You're thinking of the white Trammell.
God. I did it again. I'm so old. Even though, again, this has been well established. Sean and I, same generation.
Yeah. That's
all right.
How I knew.
We're ending the conversation there. Sean and I, same generation. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you said, Sean. All right. Other side of the break, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92. But time for the big question. Maybe a run-in or two. We'll see what happens. ESPN Radio 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, our man Johnny Belmer behind the glass. And it's time for the big question. And this week, we're going to stick a little sports. And usually these kind of go off the rails. Maybe some would you rather. Sean gets into this. Oh, my God, we have another run-in.
So it is going off the
rails. It is going off the rails right on cue. It's going off the rails. We have a run-in. You know what? I'm going to step away from the gimmick because I actually know who this is and give this man the proper introduction. This is the voice of reality wrestling. One half of the Hall of Fame here, heard here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. He's a podcaster. He's an author, a TV host on CW39. And you can hear him along with a six-time world champion Booker T on their ESPN Radio national version of the Hall of Fame tonight. I believe going, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, from 9 to midnight right after the Royal Rumble. Welcome into the bullpen, Brad Gilmore. How you doing, sir?
Hey, man, great to be here. Thanks for the invite, B-Mac. What a phenomenal intro. And yes, we're on tonight, ESPN National, which you can catch on 97.5 and, of course, 92.5 from 9 to midnight, talking about my favorite show of the year, the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely, my favorite show as well. So, Brad, before we get through, I'm gonna fanboy here a little bit and ask you if you could do a Macho Man impression, because the last time you joined us, you did one, and it is fantastic. And I'm wearing a Macho Man Randy Savage T-shirt right now, so that it feels like I have to ask for that at some point. But who are your picks tonight for the men's and women's Royal Rumble in the KO versus Cody Rhodes match?
You always gonna expect the unexpected, The Macho Man is too hot to handle, and I'm too cold to hold on. Yeah, and tonight, at the Royal Rumble in Indianapolis, Indiana, you don't know who's gonna get the crown. You Hulk Hogan?
No, I don't know. You know what? I'm just really excited. I'm really excited for the Rumble, because this year, B-Mac, what's so exciting about it is I really don't know who's going to win. You know, in last couple of days, really, there's been some smart money coming in on CM Punk. It looks like a lot of online chatter that he might be the guy, but then it's John Cena's last Royal Rumble. How do you not let John Cena win the Royal Rumble? But then there's other people at Roman Reigns. We're not even talking about Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the man, the OTC. How is he not involved in a WrestleMania main event? And then there's other surprises. Main event, Jey Uso, LA Knight's in there. I just don't know what's going to happen, and that's what makes this year's Royal Rumble kind of one of the most exciting in recent memory.
Yeah, it feels like I could easily make a case for at least 10 people. I mean, two people you didn't even mention, like Seth Rollins. We've had someone else call into the show earlier, pick Seth Rollins. You can make a case for Drew McIntyre. There's probably at least 10. Maybe we could go even deeper down the rabbit hole of names that make a lot of sense. But let me run this, because I've actually got my – I'll go ahead and give my pick now. I'm going to run this scenario by you, Brad, see what you think of this, see if this is something you'd be interested in seeing. But I think the winner tonight – and initially was on the CM Punk thought. I do get the sense in that. But then I remembered back to War Games when CM Punk helped Roman Reigns defeat his cousins, the bootleg version of the bloodline. And now CM Punk has this favor that's owed to him by Paul Heyman. So my thought is Cody retains the title against KO. I think everyone's picking that. So far in this show, everyone's picked that. And then you have Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble. Would be his second Royal Rumble win, so certainly that gets him in the conversation and all the accolades of the only guys to win the Royal Rumble twice, Shawn, Hulk, Steve, you know, all those people. And you have the rematch, all the storyline with people, Cody helping Roman regain his footing and all that. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then CM Punk comes calling, turns in his favor with Paul Heyman, and makes it a triple threat for the world, for the WWE title. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns as the main event of WrestleMania.
You know, that idea made me excited just hearing it, and I love that we can get a real payoff that's meaningful of this favor, because they've really built up what that favor is and what it could be and what it could mean. How could you get any bigger than, you know, cashing in for a main event spot at WrestleMania? And remember, last year, CM Punk was supposed to be in the main event of WrestleMania before he got hurt, when he got hurt at this very event, the Royal Rumble. I like that. You know, the only question is this, and I think this is the question that looms large over this entire show going into WrestleMania 41, and that's, what does The Rock have to do with everything? Mm. Is he going to wrestle? Is he not going to wrestle? And I think that that's going to complicate the card, right? If The Rock is involved, he's not going to be wrestling Gunther for the world title.
Right.
All due respect to Gunther, right? He's not going to be going after anybody but one of two men, Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns. So if there is signaling for Rock Roman at WrestleMania, no title on the line, which I think the match is big enough for there to not be a title, you can do that and still have CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes, which I do think is a compelling match for a main event for WrestleMania. I also think on the other side, John Cena not winning is actually better than John Cena winning the Royal Rumble. He can go on, maybe win the Elimination Chamber, face Gunther at WrestleMania, and then lose there. So that finally, you know, we just want to see him get that world title so bad for his entire run that he's here for this year. But, you know, I like the idea of Roman winning the Royal Rumble. It's just The Rock is the only thing that puts a kind of a – just makes it more difficult to determine how this WrestleMania card's shaping up, especially when he came out on Netflix and seemingly was not the final boss and loved everybody and everyone was cool. I was like, are we not seeing him at WrestleMania? It's just, it's very confusing what's going on with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, he still found a way to mention Mama Rhodes in that promo on Netflix. And I harpen back to this. I think this was after last year's WrestleMania. It might have been the night after or sometime shortly after that. But Rock did come out and had a conversation with Cody. He was congratulatory. He wasn't completely in the adversarial role, but he did mention at some point, I don't remember the exact phrasing, so I'm paraphrasing, but he mentioned at some point, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to run this back. There's going to be something between me and you. But that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be this year, and I think it probably ends up waiting. But you're right. I think where The Rock lands on the WrestleMania card certainly can shift, you know, the entirety of what we see at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, it changes the whole thing. I mean, because if The Rock's involved, you're going to get him involved, and The Rock's not going to be in, you know, the opening match of the show. You know, or the middle of the match. He's going to be involved in a main event because that's the superstar that The Rock is, and that's where he should be. And then when you look at Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens, I really wanted to see Kevin Owens win that title at the Saturday night's main event and just have a short run, even if it's brief, with that Winged Eagle title into the Royal Rumble, have Cody win it back, and then we set up for WrestleMania, because it's kind of a travesty that Kevin Owens has not won a world championship now in 10 years. In the WWE, when he's been like one of the, if not, you know, top five most important performers to that show, especially from 2015 to 2020. I don't think that anyone was on such a massive run as he was. You even go back to the feud he had with Jericho. I mean, this guy wrestled Goldberg. He and Seth at the WrestleMania that no one attended at WrestleMania 36 had a phenomenal match where he like went out there and took so many crazy bumps just for the talent, just for the love of the game and for the enjoyment of the fans. It shows what kind of talent he is. So, but going to this tonight, obviously Cody's got to win this match against Kevin Owens, and we'll see who his opponent's going to be. Which is also cool is like, say CM Punk wins. We would assume that he would pick Cody, but I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. CM Punk Gunther actually sounds attractive to me too.
Yeah, it'd be a good match. Before, I mean, we've already seen the promos between. I mean, the promo between him and Cody ended Raw last week, so I would think almost everyone would assume it's going to be Cody. But I mean, there's no bad matches there when you're talking about Gunther being involved. I mean, does Gunther ever have a bad match? So I would not be disappointed if that's the case. All right, again, this is the voice of we're talking right now with Brad Gilmore, voice of reality of wrestling, one half of the Hall of Fame, along with six-time world champion Booker T. And you can hear him tonight, 9 p.m. to midnight on these very airwaves as they bring the Hall of Fame to the ESPN national side of things, again, from 9 to midnight. Brad, what's the next reality wrestling show? Promote what you guys got going on next.
Oh, of course, yeah, February the 8th, a week from tonight, we'll have our next big reality wrestling show. It's the fallout of what happened after our last show, which saw Zilla Fatu versus Booker T himself in Street Justice. You can watch that match on the Reality Wrestling YouTube channel right now. We will see the fallout from that. We have our own version of the Royal Rumble coming up in March, which we call the Last Stand Rumble. Who's going to pop up in that? You never know. We just had a video go up yesterday on Maven's channel. Maven, who was the Tough Enough winner, WWE Superstar. Maven actually was in our Rumble last year, and he did a really great video kind of recapping his final time in the ring. The Last Stand was the Maven's Last Stand at Reality of Wrestling. So definitely, if y'all are anywhere in the area, come check us out. Walker Texas Lawyer Arena over there off MLF Lowry Expressway in Texas City, Texas. Limited tickets still available at realitywrestling.com. But we're going to see what's going to happen with Zilla Fatu, Booker T, and our champion Gaspar Hernandez. We'll have to find out.
I got to ask now, Brad. I mean, your Rumble's coming up. We've seen the voice of WWE, Michael Cole, jump in the Royal Rumble. Is there any chance we can get you in a singlet and jump in the Rumble?
So I will tell you this. The 2023 Last Stand Rumble at Reality Wrestling, you can find it on YouTube. I did make a brief entry.
Okay, how'd you do?
I'll text it to you, B-Mac.
Okay,
you
please do.
I did great, you know, as far as I would consider. You know, I didn't win the whole damn thing, but you know what? It was memorable, and it made the fans feel something. And guess what? The next morning, I felt something as well. but it was fun, and you know what? I think one and done is good for me.
All right, again, that is the voice of Brad Gilmore, half of the Hall of Fame. You can hear weekdays here on ESPN Radio alongside six-time world champion Booker T. And again, you can hear the Hall of Fame tonight, ESPN National, on these very airwaves from 9 to midnight following the Royal Rumble. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
B-Mac, you're the best, brother. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, see, I would have Brad on just to do the Macho Man Randy Savage voice. Cream of the crop. Oh, yeah. All right. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. When we get back on the other side of the break, it is time on the bullpen for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who will become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome in to Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, groundbreaking, sports radio landscape-changing segment that will someday get the four of us in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. And it won't take 27 years like those bums from the bench.
26 at the most.
26 at the most. Yeah, maybe 26 and a half. But we will beat the record of taking 27 years to get the Hall of Fame.
We're like
come
a
on.
Two.
I mean, jeez. I mean, we're already on the fast track. I mean, what do they get
like
on the
Mahomes.
Fast track? I know. See, that's
retired
exactly.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. All right, it is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. I guess I'll go ahead and lead off because it's, I mean, you can guess. It's Royal Rumble related.
No.
And I know this is a shock to you. This is a surprise. And look, I went a little longer with Brad Gilmore, which is not a complaint, but you know, than I originally planned. So I might as well just lead right into my own Royal Rumble thoughts here. This Mount Rushmore Plus One is a list of Royal Rumble things.
Okay.
Just things from the Royal Rumble that are weirder, interesting, mildly interesting probably in most cases. But just weird little things about the Royal Rumble. Yeah. One, we always get the announcers. Sean, you'll hear all of this tonight, by the way, because I know you'll be tuned in. 5 o'clock on Peacock. You'll always hear the announcers doing the Royal Rumble make a point to point out the unlikely alliances between a heel and a babyface who, you know, it's every man for themselves in the Royal Rumble, but they come together to get that guy out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that we there's always that moment when Michael Cole or whoever has to mention the unlikely alliances that form in the Royal Rumble.
What do you think is going to be the most unlikely alliance? I guess by definition, if I'm having you pick what you think the unlikely.
Yeah, then it's no longer unlikely. Yeah, you know, I can't even name it because it's unlikely, Sean. You get it. Number two, the weird entrance you get. Some of the ones that come to mind recently, this is like 2 years ago, Johnny Knoxville was in the Royal Rumble randomly.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the day, in like 2003, Drew Carey was in the Royal Rumble for some reason.
Tyrese Halliburton
could be in tonight. And this was not the Royal
Tyrese Halliburton, it would be crazy if he was in the Royal Rumble tonight, considering that they're in the middle of their season, the Pacers are.
Yeah, I know, but... you're right. The spot he did with Jalen Brunson last year was after their season ended. So, yeah, I don't think he'll actually be in it. But there's always a few,
he's so good.
That it would be great if he and Jalen Brunson are both in there.
Or they just get thrown over by the ropes and all the Pacer fans like,
Is he okay? Did he sprain his ankle on the way down?
Then tomorrow, Tyrese Halliburton, questionable.
Questionable. That would be
the game against the Wizards.
That would be the best. No, but this was actually from like a WrestleMania Battle Royal. It's kind of the only difference between a Battle Royal and Royal Rumble is the Battle Royal that all start in the ring at once instead of being brought out. But Colin Jost and Michael Che were randomly in a WrestleMania Battle Royal. And so at one time, the biggest man in the ring, obviously, Shaq, was in a WrestleMania Battle Royal. So there's always some weird entrance in these things. Then speaking of Shaq, there's always the big guy spot.
Yeah.
There's always the spot where, like, oh my God, here comes the 7-footer. How could you possibly throw him over the ropes?
Who could possibly do it?
And then they never win. So there's there's always some 7-footer that comes in the ring. Like, everyone's scared. They clear out. He throws out like 5 guys.
Yeah.
And then we get to a moment where he's in the middle of the ring, or she is in the middle of the ring, and everyone else stops, looks at them, rushes over, and they all team together to throw the big guy over the top ropes. The unlikely? Yes. See? It all comes full circle. So that is always a nice Royal Rumble thing. Two more. The never made it to the ring spot. Last time I remember seeing this, I think, was Curtis Axel, but there are a few times in Royal Rumble history where someone, their music hits, they come out, and then someone attacks them, and they just get taken backstage, and they never actually make it to the ring. And then we get to have the fun angle of he was never eliminated, and they can run that storyline for a few months. And last one, this is the spot that probably you'll see the most tonight during the Royal Rumble is, okay, he went over the top ropes, but only 1 foot touched.
Yeah.
Only one, or you could have the Kofi spots where he gets knocked off the ring apron, but he lands on a table or he lands on a chair and he like hops his way back to the ring. So those are my favorite Royal Rumble things of just weird spots in the match.
I like it. I like those. It's going to be a nice, it's going to be a nice drinking game for tonight of what happens.
Take a drink every time they mention unlikely alliances.
Yeah, from B-Max Lift. Your drink.
You might be drunk before the match is over. Cam, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
My Mount Rushmore plus one is...
Is it Royal Rumble related?
Yeah. Nope.
Wow.
It is...
I thought he let me have it for a second. I was like, wow.
I gave you 1 second.
He heel turned. He patted me on the back, and then when I turned around, he hit me with a chair.
That's how we do it. So, mine is the crazy things I've seen people sneak into the movie theater.
Oh, okay.
And some of these I would do myself. But
I've snuck in. I think the last thing I snuck into a movie theater, because most of these are food, right?
All of them but one.
Okay. Last thing I snuck into, and I used a hoodie to do it, I snuck in a Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit because it was still the morning time.
Yeah. That's simple. That's,
yeah,
that's,
it's easy. That's it was right. John's dying.
It was still the morning. You saw a movie in the morning?
I know.
Yeah, the matinee time.
I know.
Back when matinee prices were like $5. Hell yeah. My mom would take me on Wednesday.
I know you guys realize what time Chick-fil-A cuts off sales, so you know this
10:30?
Yeah, so you're there at 11 to watch?
No, the movie was like 10:15.
Oh, my God.
That is my favorite. Look,
watching Driving Miss Daisy?
I'm going to out my... Okay, thank you, Sean. Again, same generation. I'm going to out myself, but if I had my druthers, which maybe also a way to out myself for my age because I said the word druthers, but I would never, if I had my choice, I would never watch a movie with a start time past noon.
Past noon? At the theater.
If I had my own choice. If it was 100% up to me and not like...
You could have given me 10 guesses. I would have thought the number or the time.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were going to say like 8 o'clock, and I was going to call you old for that.
No.
12 o'clock.
Like really, once the movie starts past, oh god, we might as well just get into it now.
Yeah, no, I mean you're an old man, Cam. What's your list?
Oh yeah, that's right. Cam has a list. All right.
The first one, Popeyes.
Oh yeah.
Anything specifically?
I'm not exactly sure what they brought in, but. From what I remember about the size of the box, it was probably like a 3-piece.
Yeah.
Oh, so these are things you saw brought in. Like, did you work at a movie theater when you were a teenager?
No. I used to go to movies a lot.
And okay.
A lot of times when I would go my dad.
You started narking on people, what they brought into
the movie. Oh, I would never nark because I bring in stuff all the time.
Yeah, some of these are going to be things, I'm assuming, things that you saw yourself bring.
Yes, these are all things I've seen myself.
Okay.
The next
I don't know how you could get the Popeyes box in without
if you
being...
go with a girl and they have a purse.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or you wear a big jacket.
Yeah,
like,
big jacket.
There's always ways.
Yeah, all right.
You carry the jacket. You put the food in and carry the jacket.
Sir, why are you carrying your...
Or you act like you have a baby and you're just carrying...
that'd be tough for us
seriously,
to pull off. That'd be tough.
Like an assassin in a movie?
You're carrying like a... What is
a pillow. Like,
you have
oh
a child.
My God.
What is that thing called that you carry a baby in?
A stroller?
No, not that's what you push it in. What do you carry a baby?
The little carry?
Yeah, like the
like
little...
a car seat thing, but like
the little handle. Yeah, the little thing that goes around your...
No, you're literally carrying it. It's like a... baby.
Oh, it's just a car. It's just like car seat, but you detach it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a carrier, basically.
I've seen people I haven't seen it. I've seen it, like, on the news where people act like they have a baby in there. They just fill it with a bunch of stuff. But my next one is Ziploc bags full of pizza slices.
That is so bootleg.
Yeah. I was just curious if they brought blue cheese or ranch, to be honest. Because pizza slices is something pretty easy that you can, like, slide into the theater. The thing, too, is, like, a lot of these things you can smell. So you know it's not theater food.
Like, the part of the problem, like, pizza, like, sure, Ziploc bag, I think it could seal and carry okay. But I think it would have one of the stronger smells of, like, okay, you're clearly carrying something.
But I think some theaters, you can actually buy pizza slices.
Maybe.
Yeah. So it's kind of a good cover. But obviously, the pizza slices are, like, $12 compared to dollars.
And it's just, it's frozen pizza anyway.
So. Yeah, but they're not going to kick you out just for smelling like pizza. Come on.
No, they're not. Exactly. They're not.
Next one. And I might have partake in this one before. Yes, I have. Not this particular alcohol.
No.
But I have seen people, I have seen somebody bring in a full bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Full bottle. So not like unopened?
Yes.
Wow.
I will say.
That's crazy.
And
see, the dangerous thing about sneaking that in, the way you would hold it almost would come off like you're carrying a weapon. It would seem like. Like if you're kind of holding it in your jacket.
But again, it's in the purse.
Yeah.
They don't. How they don't search.
How big is the purse that fits an entire bottle of wine?
Have you seen purses that girls have?
I guess my wife just does. My wife doesn't have a purse big enough that would carry that. But maybe people carry.
You need
to
step up your sneaking food into the.
Yeah, apparently so. I need to up my game. I'm going Chick-fil-A sandwich. People bring in whole bottles of Dom Perignon or something.
Now this is a little ratchet, so I might get some shade for this. When we were younger, we did bring 40s into the theater one time.
What, Mad Dog 2020?
Old Slits? English.
Yeah. Old English? Oh, my God.
I thought I was going to guess Colt 45.
O.E.
Man, that's hard times, brother.
That was a great movie.
That was a great time.
That was a great movie.
I hope you graduated.
I did.
Okay, good. Good.
What did you watch with the 40s? Do you remember?
Couldn't remember.
Okay. No, that's the correct
that'll
answer.
That'll do it.
That's the correct answer, yes.
The next one, Chipotle. Which is so outrageous.
See, that would probably have the strongest smell that would give you away. Plus,
is that the end of your list?
No, I have one more.
Okay. Well, this is related. I've seen people, some would say I've seen myself do it.
Oh.
I've looked down and saw the person who was doing it. Have snuck in, this is so on brand, Taco Bell into a movie theater.
Very on brand.
That's one where after you undo all the wrapping, which, by the way, so much louder.
So
in a movie
much louder. Yeah, especially because when I did my Chick-fil-A biscuit, I was like, okay, I waited until the previews are over. So I started unraveling it like when the movie started. But the very beginning of most movies is quiet. Like there's that kind of quiet part that's like all of a sudden, just like, oh,
yeah, but
everyone
then
heard that.
Yeah, and now you're having a 5-layer bean burrito.
If you're seeing the movie at 10:15, no one else.
That's
cares,
why the Ziploc one is a good one because it doesn't make noise. Like I'm buying something there, I still get weird trying. Like if I buy like a pack of Twizzlers, I still feel weird trying to like open.
Yeah.
And then not be like
not
loud.
Be too loud.
The last one, and I could smell this one, the distinct smell.
Weed.
McDonald's hot and spicy's.
Man, that is, I feel like a cry for help.
Which is about the only thing I'll actually eat from McDonald's.
Yeah, hot and spicy is not bad, but it kind of feels like a cry for help if you're sneaking to McDonald's.
Can you imagine you're trying to finish a movie and like an hour later you're like, oh crap, I got the hot and spicy bubble guts.
You're munching on your popcorn, you look to the left, someone's opened up a hot and spicy, like what in the hell?
Do what you gotta do.
My favorite part about sneaking in, because like John said, like they're not gonna throw you out for it. No one's ever been thrown out. Well, not
the
no
employees
one
there aren't paid enough to care to kick
care.
You out.
Yeah. No, they're not.
But at the same time, you still are acting like you're trying to get something through TSA.
Yes.
While you're,
like you're trying to sneak world secrets.
Yeah. And like you're eating it, like kind of like no one cares. The lights are off. Like we're all trying to watch Gladiator 2 now. All right. You're
trying to be covert. Yeah. 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 But you don't. No need to it. All right. Main event, mates. Main event, this bad boy.
All right. Main event. My Mount Rushmore plus one this week, inspired by a T-shirt I saw earlier this week from one of my coworkers, Brian McDonald.
Oh.
Okay.
I remember what this is. Yeah.
He was wearing a shirt featuring two characters from
Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
Fox's and NBC's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. It was
Hitchcock and Scully.
Hitchcock and Scully. I was trying to think of their first names. I was like, I don't have it.
They don't have. They don't have them.
And
actually, I know Scully's first name is Norm. But anyway,
and that got me thinking about my favorite police officers. And then I thought, I actually know police officers. So to make this list, I did my favorite movie and TV police officers for the Mount Rushmore Plus One, and from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's actually not Hitchcock and Scully. I mean, I could make this whole list just Brooklyn Nine-Nine characters.
Could, certainly.
But I'm going to give it to Jake Peralta of the Nine-Nine. Yeah, cop, heart of gold.
Heart of gold, diehard fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's certainly, I think I might have gone... I think my favorite from that show is actually Captain Holt. But I have no problem with the pick overall.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. The Andre Brower, yeah.
Next, another cop with the heart of gold, I'm assuming. I haven't actually seen this movie yet, but I did see the ads for it when I was watching Texans Chargers on Nickelodeon. The funniest way to watch Justin Herbert throw a million interceptions is to watch it with SpongeBob
get
and Patrick.
See him get slimed after the pick.
And during the commercial...
It's going to be a long offseason, Cam.
During one of the commercial breaks, this is one that made me jolt up on my couch. It just... The ad for it starts with, "We sewed the body of a man to the... Or a head of a dog to the body
yes,
of a man."
Yes. Uh-huh. That's in theaters now.
Dog Man. Who's a dog-headed police officer for some reason.
Yes. Because why not?
And then I was like, wow, what... That's the craziest thing I ever saw. And then I saw Justin Herbert throw a pass straight to Kamari Lassiter for no reason. I was like, that's now the craziest thing I've ever seen. Sorry, Cam.
I love how that fits into what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, it was a natural transition. It could not be avoided.
In between every one of your picks, you have to stop and talk about one of the interceptions.
I could talk about a different interception, yeah, and not run out. next, maybe this is recency bias. Maybe it's not. Big Nick O'Brien from Den of Thieves.
Okay, see, great. Have you seen the new one?
Yes, seen it.
Is it pretty good?
It's awesome. I wouldn't say he does things by the book.
I
wouldn't say he's...
That's a staple of those movies.
I wouldn't say he's a good police officer. I mean, he gets the job done, but I wouldn't say Internal Affairs loves him. But this is why it's not the best movie in TV Cops. It's my favorite movie in TV Cops. And that rolls right into Alonzo Harris from Training Day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Yep.
You're going to be playing basketball at Pelican Bay. One of my favorite lines.
And God, I love that movie.
Last but certainly not least, Vincent Hanna from Heat, because she's got a great ass.
Yeah,
and you got your head all the way up it.
Shout out to Al Pacino.
I just wanted to shout great ass. Both those lines. I just wanted to yell both those lines into a microphone.
All right, how do we follow up Sean's shouting? She's got a great ass. We'll follow that with the worst people in sports. Is Sean one of them? I don't know. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the final segment of the Bullpen today. A little programming note. We are on next week. No Aggies basketball interrupt us next week, but we'll be off the next 2 weeks after that because of Aggies basketball. Not being lazy, just Aggies basketball is on. So we will talk to you next week. But let's end the show right now, as we do every week, with our worst people in sports. Sean, who is your worst person in sports?
Worst person in sports, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
I feel like we should retire the number.
Yeah, he's up there with Paul Pierce.
Yeah, he's up there.
For making me snicker and acting like it's no big deal, take it away, Jerry.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes. Very low percentage.
I mean,
what is he talking about?
How am I, like, you just say that like it's a normal thing, Jerry? He's done this before. And like,
yes,
he
just says it like it's a saying that everyone says.
I don't understand how there wasn't snickering in the audio clip. Like, obviously, they have much more, Tim Kalashaw and Ed Werder are much more mature than I am. But I would be like, what was that?
Jerry, can we go come back for a second?
I think it can be.
How is the Brian Schottenheimer hiring not a glory hole?
I would only lead him to glory to answer glory hole questions. Yeah, Jerry Jones, not worst person for hiring Brian Schottenheimer. Worst for, you know, again, just saying glory hole. Like, supposed to laugh at
Cam it. Hadn't heard that yet. Did that live up to your expectations?
That was
Cam?
Wonderful.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to do a first here. Ring on tone. The bullpen. Can we play that again? One more time, Johnny. Play that back. One more time. Run it back. My bad, Johnny.
Yeah, geez. That's why.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory hole. And glory hole.
I feel like they...
And glory hole.
Okay. All right.
All right, Johnny. We got the remix. Thank you, Johnny. That was some pro work there. Well done. Jerry Jones is just so weird. All right. My worst person in sports this week comes from Monday Night Raw. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a wrestling show on tonight. Peacock, 5 o'clock, Royal Rumble. But Xavier Woods, he turned on Big E a few weeks ago. Everyone's now turning on him, including his own damn family. Monday Night Raw was in Atlanta, where Xavier Woods is from. He bought front row seats for his parents and his sister. And when the match started, his match against Rey Mysterio started on Monday Night Raw, they weren't even in the audience until what we hear in this clip.
And Woods is just glancing over at ringside. His family, I believe, has arrived. Father Alvin, his mother Angelita, his sister Amber.
Mom!
Who has never seen Xavier.
Dad, where have y'all been?
Live, and little Yachty there as well. Oh, my goodness. Little Yachty and Xavier Woods' parents have turned on Woods, just like Kofi's mom did. What a moment.
So
Xavier Woods' family has turned on him because of his actions toward Big E.
So they don't show up for the start of the match. And when they do show up, what you don't see in the clip is they pull back their jacket to reveal they're wearing New Day Sucks t-shirts.
Yeah.
In his hometown, his family doesn't show up. And when they do, they're wearing New Day Sucks t-shirts. Worst person in sports, Xavier Woods' family. All right, Cam, what is your worst person in sports?
My worst person is Victor Slenderman Wimbiyama for flopping 15 feet and then jumping up like he was actually going to go fight Zubik.
Mm.
Or whatever his dude's name is from Zubac. The Clippers. Zubac, yeah.
It's close enough.
That was just,
it doesn't matter what his name
he's
is.
He's so cheesy.
Yeah.
The fake run-in and then, like, you're going to start something and stop. Like, that's where he lost me.
Yeah, because he didn't even have anybody hold him back. He stopped on his own and then somebody like grabbed him and it's just like that was the fakest attempt to be a tough guy.
It was bad.
So he shouldn't try to make a run at Beef Stew then, Sean.
Absolutely not. Beef Stew will crack him like a breadstick.
All right, we're done swimming with the anger sharks. Let's go ahead and doggy paddle over to see Tranquility and talk about what we loved in sports. Sean, what did you love in sports this week?
This is not something from this week, but something I learned this week.
Close enough.
Amin Thompson's parents for naming both Amin and Asar Thompson with the same middle name. Do you know what this middle name is?
I do not.
It's XLNC, Excellency.
Mm, I did not know
it's
that.
It's in all caps, too.
So he's Amin Excellency Thompson.
Yes, but it's XLNC.
Man, that is, you know
it's
what?
Spelled all caps. LX, yeah, LXNC.
That all caps, all caps. That is high expectations you're
like
putting on
app.
Your kid. Like your name is Amin Excellency, and then you
and
go,
they nailed it.
He, well, look,
they nailed it.
To their credit, they put the high expectations of the kid, and he delivered. So well done there. All right, my thing I love from sports this week, once again from Monday Night Raw, which again was in Atlanta, which means the WWE decided to put a bunch of famous rappers in the front row, and the whitest man alive, Michael Cole, had to announce all of them in attendance.
Little Yachty's here as well, the two-time Grammy Award-nominated rapper from right here in Atlanta, Georgia. His latest single is Doodleverse. Pat, how about my guy? Titty Boy! 2 Chainz is here! Also, Atlanta's own Quavo, the multi-platinum Atlanta rapper, songwriter, record producer. His latest single, What We Doin', is out and on the charts. It was so cool hanging out with those guys earlier today. I really wanted to get my picture with this man, not Rey Mysterio, but one of the celebrities in attendance tonight. Lil Baby, Diamond Certified Grammy Award winning rapper from right here in Atlanta. His latest album, WAN, debuted on the Billboard 200 chart. His new album, Dominique, will be released in February. And also, oh, my guy, Killer Mike is here. Four-time Grammy Award-winning rapper, actor, activist from right here in Atlanta.
I don't know if that tickled everyone else, but something about the whitest man in America saying every rapper from Atlanta in the front row is hilarious.
I wish we could also pull up the video of him trying to dap up Quavo.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Believe it or not.
My God.
Believe it or not, he didn't nail it, Cam.
If you haven't seen the video, Pat McAfee nails it. Like, he tries to dap up Quavo as he passes by, nails it. Then Quavo reaches over to Michael Cole. It did not go well. He looks very, very white. Make sure you go and find that video. All right, Cam, quickly, what did you love from sports this week?
UH men's basketball comeback win against Kansas.
That was a pretty good big comeback. All right, for Cam Smith, for Sean Mapes, for John Belmer behind the glass, I am Brian McDonald. Thank you for joining us, Houston. Watch the Royal Rumble tonight. We'll be back next week. Have a great week in Houston.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.